It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse number 15, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. This is the eighth commandment of the Ten Commandments, the law against theft. Let's look at a couple of points here in terms of this eighth commandment and begin to see how it can apply to our life. Point number one, this is the law against theft. This is the law against theft. The eighth commandment is the law against taking something that does not belong to us. Taking something that does not belong to us. There are multiple examples of stealing. Individuals can steal a candy bar from a candy store. Individuals can rob Fort Knox. Individuals can steal time off their job. Individuals can steal someone else's spouse. There's a slippery slope. There's a cliff, if you will, on how things can get worse over time. This speaks of not judging. It does not matter if we've stolen a paperclip or if we've stolen $5,000 from a loved one for drug use. Stealing is stealing. No need to compare. There is petty theft. And there is grand larceny. Yes, there are gradations when it comes to stealing. Yes, there are levels of theft. And these different levels of theft have a greater consequence than the other. For example, with some levels of theft, there's just restitution. There's just the opportunity to pay back that which we have stolen with interest and with amends. Also, there's the opportunity for prison time if the amount was great or if the impact was great. So we need not judge individuals that may steal things on a greater level. If we've stolen certain things in our life, we are just as guilty of violating this particular commandment. Let's look at some examples of how there are different ways individuals can steal and how broad and comprehensive this particular commandment is. First of all, individuals may steal from their taxes. Individuals may withhold taxes. We are admonished by Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2 and 1 Timothy, Romans chapter 13, to pay our taxes, to pay tribute to that which is due. Individuals should pay their taxes. We as citizens of this wonderful country, America, have the freedom to vote and to vote in elected officials who will not raise taxes unjustly or who will not pass unjust tax laws, but give individuals the opportunity to have fair tax laws. Taxes that help pay for the common roads that we use. Taxes that help pay for emergency police services, emergency fire department services, things of this nature, things that collectively we use in terms of our support systems here in our infrastructure. Not taxes to bail out immoral or unethical or ungodly programs, but taxes that help to benefit infrastructure, things that help keep society moving along. Also, individuals, according to Scripture, the book of Exodus, chapter 21, selling individuals into slave labor. This happens today. Individuals are kidnapped from their family and loved ones by many countries and individuals that sell families into slave labor. This is unbiblical, ungodly. This should not happen today. This is a form of violating the Eighth Commandment. Also, individuals can steal from their employers. The number one category that's greatest in terms of employer losing money is by way of employee theft. Billions of dollars and merchandise are lost because employees take home items that do not belong to them. Taking home pencils and pens, materials that they see outside of the corporation dumpster or the factory dumpster, they take home with them. Some of these things are disposed of. The corporation, the factory, the business has the right to dispose of them as they see fit. And we are not to use our position of trust, our position of authority, our position of responsibility to take things that do not belong to us. Individuals may think that a piece of paper here, an envelope there, a paperclip here may not seem that much, but collectively, individuals here and individuals there, it all adds up to materials that add up to billions and billions of dollars being lost by the company. And therefore, the company, the corporation, has to pass off that loss onto the consumer. And therefore, prices go up. Insurance premiums may go up. Things of that nature. Therefore, employee theft affects every individual, every consumer on this planet, not just the employer themselves. There's a great responsibility that individuals have when they are hired to a corporation, to a company. They are placed in positions of trust, and resources that are procured or bought by the corporation, by the company, ought to be used by the corporation, by the company. Also, individuals may steal opportunities that do not belong to them. For example, they may try to usurp authority that's not given to them. For example, in 2 Samuel chapter 15, Absalom, the Bible says, stole the hearts of the people of Israel when he began to give sideline counsel, sideline judgment to the people. He would tell the people that David is too busy to listen to your problems and to solve your problems as king, but I will solve your problems. Come and listen to me, and I'll give you all my solutions that you will need. Therefore, individuals no longer trusted and looked to the king or looked to the leadership, but they looked to Absalom. And the Bible says Absalom stole the hearts of the children of Israel. Individuals do that today, especially in today's churches. Individuals will bypass the leadership, bypass the counselors in the church or the pastor, and begin to do sideline counseling, sideline problem solving themselves without authorization, without accountability. And they do it in a way to begin to form their own cliques. This is a precursor to individuals splitting a church and taking part of the congregation with them. This is usurping authority. This is stealing authority, stealing the hearts of individuals that do not belong to you. Individuals sometimes do this on jobs where they try and move up that power chain, that power ladder, and begin to usurp the authority, the management, or the supervisors on that job. And they begin to problem solve with the other employees. And they begin to tell employees that I can solve this better than the supervisor. Your supervisor does not know what he or she is doing. Therefore, listen to me. And individuals begin to turn the hearts away from the leadership that's established and begin to establish their own clique, move up that power ladder, and eventually take full control in a controlling, ungodly, uncompassionate way. This is usurping authority on the job, stealing the hearts of individuals that do not belong to you, stealing authority that was not given to you. The Bible says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining. This means not pilfering or stealing, but showing all good fidelity, all good faith and honesty, sincerity and truthfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. This is Titus chapter 2 verse 9, exhorting us as employees to be faithful to our employers and to not get involved with sticky fingers, to not get involved with taking things that do not belong to us, to not answer again, to not talk back, the scriptures teach, to be faithful. For with the authority that you humble yourself to in God, it's the same way we humble ourselves to the authority that God establishes in our employers. Also, individuals can steal time. Yes, individuals can steal time. This is when you take unauthorized coffee breaks, unauthorized breaks on your job. You begin to work only when the boss is around. And when the boss is not around, you begin to take five and to take ten. Or you begin to chat on the internet. Or you begin to text on your phone. Or you begin to call and talk to someone else on the phone. This is what Colossians chapter 3 verse 22 is talking about when it says, servants or employees, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, or your masters or employers in the natural, not with eye service, the Bible says, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. This is individuals that are admonished and charged to put an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. When an individual clocks in, they are working for a fee. They're working for a wage. They're working for a return to their work labor. They're working an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. And when they clock out, when they're off the time of the employer, then they can do those things that they're authorized to do. This is individuals that steal time. The good news is that we can make up for time and be forgiven for the time we've lost. The Bible states in the book of Ephesians to redeem the time because the days are evil. That word redeeming, it means to buy back or to purchase the lost time we've given away, to make up for every precious moment that we can. Not only does it speak to us making positive use of our time, making up for the time lost, and making precious use of our time, being good stewards of time, but this also means to be forgiven for the time we've lost. For example, some of us have been plagued with the if I could, I should have's. If I could have done this, I would have done that. If I should have done this, I would have done that. I've wasted so much time doing this. I should be here in my life. I should be doing this in my life. I've lost so much and lost so much time in sin. I should be doing these things now. Well, the good news is not only can God forgive us of the things we did in the past, the time we've wasted in terms of sin, but God can also forgive us for that time. God can redeem the time. The time can be atoned for in Christ. It's not only also as if we've never committed the sin, it's also as if we've never wasted the time. We've been washed from the sin, and we've been washed from wasting time. Oh, what a blessing it is to be able to redeem the time. This is when God gives us a fresh start, a new day in Christ Jesus. Not only has He forgiven us from the past and has removed the past, but in His sight, but He's also removed the time we've wasted. And now he's no longer holding that against us. And now we can move on and no longer beat ourselves up with if I could have, would have, should have. This is called redeeming the time. Point number two. This is a law that protects private property. This is a law that protects private property. Every country, every nation and kingdom on this planet has a history of laws that come from the Ten Commandments. Every country has in some form or fashion a law against adultery. Every country in some form or fashion has a law against stealing, a law against murder. These laws protect society and keep things in order and structure and prevents anarchy. For example, if there was no eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, then there would be no right to private property and individuals would have to share whatever they worked hard for in that day. Someone would come and try and take what you have and redistribute the wealth. That's a form of socialism. That's not freedom in Christ. That's not freedom in America. An honest day's work for an honest day's pay, individuals should be allowed to keep their earnings. This is a law that protects private property. It allows individuals to possess their own home, their own land, their own health insurance policy, their own auto insurance policy. They've worked hard for their resources, and now they have the freedom to purchase their own private property. Otherwise, my shoes would be your shoes, and my house would be your house, and your car would be my car if there was no private property laws. The Eighth Commandment protects us to have private property. Point number three, there is forgiveness from theft, and there is a calling from God as a result. There is a forgiveness from theft and a calling from God as a result. For example, in the book of Luke chapter 19, individual by the name of Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans. The Bible says he was rich. The publicans were the chief tax collectors of that day. They were despised above all others, even the Romans who kept the nation of Israel in bondage. They were despised above the harlots and prostitutes of that day. They were despised above the Gentiles, unbelievers. They were despised above the murderers. They were despised above all. Why is that? These publicans were hired by the Romans to collect taxes from the Jews, from the nation of Israel. They were hired by the very nation that was holding them captive to take taxes from their own. And these individuals would take taxes not based on the standard 20, 30, 40% tax levels. They would take taxes based on 70, 80, 90% taxes. Individuals would have to sell their home and their property in order to pay these taxes. They would give the Romans their 20, 30, 40%, and then they would keep the rest as a kickback. And these individuals were so ruthless and so cutthroat that they would send individuals to debtor's prison, sell their family into prison. Whatever it took, they would do to get their taxes. And that's why they were so hated above all others. Yet this individual, Zacchaeus, met Jesus in his home, received him joyfully, the Bible says. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus stood up and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." This is a fulfillment of Exodus 22, where Zacchaeus is paying back restitution and paying it back with interest fourfold. This is showing that he truly had changed, truly repented, and he wanted to do the right thing. Even this individual, with such a cold, cutthroat heart as being in that day and time, the ultimate in being a loan shark, he was changed in the presence of Christ. And God used the same kind of individual as one of the apostles. Yes, the Bible says Matthew, the publican, in Luke chapter 9, verse 9. Jesus passed by Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs table, and he said, "Follow me." And Matthew arose, left all, and followed him. For we see our calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. There is restoration and there is amends after we come to Christ and confess our sins in theft. We are charged and admonished according to the scriptures to give back, to work an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, and to begin to give back. The Bible says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." No longer, in other words, being a taker, but being a giver. No longer, in other words, being an individual that takes for our own selfish enjoyment, our own selfish needs, but now we give freely from our heart, giving with wisdom, giving with love and compassion. There's a sense of contentment that can keep us from stealing. It comes from Christ. There's a prayer in Proverbs chapter 30 that may help us. It says, "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, necessary for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." In other words, this prayer is a prayer that an individual is content with God, neither being content to want to be rich or to be poor, for if he becomes rich without being faithful or humble, then the individual can say, "I no longer need God," or being poor and making the choice to steal. This is contentment in Christ. If God brought you this far, he will bring us the rest of the way. God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God is not looking for our ability. God is looking for our availability. Yes, God is not looking for our ability. God is looking for our availability. And God chose the worst of the worst, the loan shark publicans of that day, converted them to show the love of God and to call one of them as his apostles. As Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 was forgiven, cleansed, repented, and paid back everything he has taken fourfold. And God called a young man named Matthew, the publican, to be one of the apostles. This particular eighth commandment we learned is a law against theft. That in point number one, theft can come in many different forms. Stealing from our taxes, stealing from our employers, stealing time. We also learn in point number two that this is a law that protects private property. So important is this commandment. It gives us the right to have our own home, our own car. Rights do not come from government. Rights come from God. Rights come from the Ten Commandments, which formed our Constitution. If freedoms and rights came from the government, then government could take them away. Rights come from God. That's why they're called inalienable rights. And that's why if God gave them to us, man cannot take them away. And then finally, in point three, we learn that there's forgiveness from theft and a calling from God. So Zacchaeus, the rich publican, chief of the publicans, was converted, and he gave back fourfold. Matthew, the publican, converted and used by God, there is a sense of contentment that comes when we're changed in Christ. Matthew no longer needed to extort the people by being a publican. He was now content in Christ. This particular contentment is found in the scripture. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 through 9 speaks of being content with God, not desiring to be rich, not desiring to be poor. If God blesses to be rich, that's wonderful. He'll bless with the patience and faithfulness to be a good steward of those finances, and praying to be kept from being poor, because the scriptures teach that we may steal as a result. Chapter 30, verse 9. This speaks of contentment. There's restoration when it comes to conversion also, when it comes to being changed, no longer stealing. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We're no longer taking, we are giving. So we are using an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, and giving with compassion, freely, from the choice and charity of our own heart. Matthew, Zacchaeus, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. God is not looking for the creme de la creme. God is looking for someone to say, oh God, here am I, save me, use me, send me. God is not looking for our ability. God is looking for our availability. God is not looking for our ability. God is looking for our availability. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have strayed away from His love and kindness and backslidden, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.